you'll see me through it. It's strange. I don't understand it myself. But when I'm down there, I don't worry about anything. You know, I feel at home, take care of the work and all. But when I'm here, I always worry that something will happen to me and I won't get to go back. So y'all pray for me. Lord, give me more faith. Yes, sir. I told Brother Smith I'm just going to say a few words and introduce him, and he'll preach. I think he's ready. I wrote down a few things here. Some fella said he saw me writing in this little notebook, and if I preached everything I've got written in this notebook, we'll be here daylight. Well, I made a few notes of some things that preacher said while they were preaching, and comments were made, and I just wanted to make a little comment about them. Brother Kissel, I think he preached on the same old stuff, didn't he? Yeah, he made mention of the same old stuff. And that reminded me of one time when I was pastor at Julian. And I think he made mention. He said somebody knew what the preacher preached last Sunday. So I made a survey of that, you know. I said, now I want you folks to write down what I preached last Sunday morning. Now, if you can't remember my subject, well, I write down the text. If you can't remember the text, write down some point in the message. And I'd give anything if I'd kept those notes I got. I mean, it was really something. The only person that got the whole thing right confessed later on that she copied it out of her Bible. And I was reading along, you know, some of them said one thing, some another, and some of them did get sort of the gist of the message. And then I picked up a note and it said, the same old thing. Same old thing. Well, that's really all we have to preach. If it gets old, it's your fault, because it could be new every day. That's what we have to preach. Well, let's see here. Oh, yes, Brother Titus made a unique point here. He said, did anyone ever complain to you or complain that you didn't preach long enough? Well, I've had a lot of people complain that. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, well, you didn't preach long enough. I didn't get my nap out. Woke them up in the middle of their nap. Yeah, well, those who stay awake, you don't get much complaint like that. Yeah. Well, let's see. There's another one here. Oh, yes. Now, this one's a good one. Yeah, Brother Bill Titus introduced to us the newest church, McChurch. And the pastor's name is McNutt. No reference to folks that have that name, McNutt, you know. But I swore off of McDonald's hamburgers right then. I'll never eat another one. Because a fella that'll get up a conglomeration like that and call it a church, I don't know what kind of stuff he'll put in that meat and call it a hamburger. I don't trust him anymore. I'm not going to eat any more of his hamburgers, that's for sure. Yes, sir. Yes, I believe he said something else about, what's the name of that new church over here that left the old path?
What's that?
Huh?
The one I talked about?
Yeah.
Woodside.
Yeah, I misunderstood. I put down Good Life. That about fit it, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, you know, they said they weren't afraid to leave the old paths and embark on the new paths of this world. Well, I believe that. The Bible says that. The Bible says there's no fear of God before their eyes. And that's exactly right. No fear of God before their eyes. Well, I had a few more remarks, but I want to call your attention this evening to the book of Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. I appreciate you folks. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate the invitation to come here and preach on this conference. I appreciate your offerings. And most of all, I appreciate your beautiful faces. Yeah, I love all of you. Hey, Brother Harvey. He can make some beautiful faces while he's preaching, can't he? he sure can. Yes, sir. Well, but I love all of you and I appreciate your presence here. Some of you came to hear me preach, and you must love persecution. But I appreciate your interest and I appreciate your confidence in me. Verse 1, chapter 13 of the book of Joshua. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. Now if you go back in the 12th chapter, you'll find a list of 31 kings. 31 kings that God had delivered into their hands. I mean, they just vacuumed out 31 kings, 31 kingdoms, and all the people, and took the land and the houses and the vineyards. And I can just see some of them when he gave this big list, and they saw all these kings had been destroyed and their kingdoms, and they were in possession of that land. I imagine they said, boy, I'm glad that's over. But God said, Joshua, you're old and stricken in years, but I'm not through with you. I'm not through with you. I don't have a retirement plan for you, Joshua. I'm not through with you. There's still much land to be possessed. We're still not through. It's not over yet. We're coming close. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. And that's our blessed hope, as we've heard in this conference. We're looking for His coming. We rejoice in that glorious truth. We wait anxiously for that hour. But it hadn't arrived yet. And God never did tell anybody, sell your lands and housing and quit your jobs and dress up in white and get on the highest mountain because I'm going to come. No. He never did say that. That's why He never did tell us exactly when. He wants us to keep on working. Amen. Until we hear the trumpet blow and the voice of the archangel. And then it'll be over. But there's still a lot to do. Still a lot to do. So you fellas that keep talking about how old you are, you know, I mean, that makes me feel old. Don't do that. You're not too old yet. I mean, I don't know exactly how old Joshua was. Now, Caleb told his age, but Joshua never did tell his. Caleb was 85 years old. So Joshua was at least that old. And probably older. But God still had a lot for him to do. And one thing we need to remember, friends, is that our ability doesn't depend on us. But our ability comes from God. Amen. We're not able to do anything within ourselves. But God is able to do all things through us. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I'll glory in my infirmities. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I admire Brother O'Connor. Still preaches it like he always did. I've known him ever since he was a young man, and that's been a long time ago. but he was preaching in the mountains of eastern Kentucky the first time I ever met him. Man, we had some good times down there, I'll tell you. Wonderful times. He'd been through a lot. And I'm not praising Brother Connor because he didn't want any praise. I'm praising God's grace.
Amen. Amen, brother.
But he feels just like I read you in this book, just like God said, there's still plenty to do.
Amen.
The battle's not over.
Amen.
We're soldiers of Jesus Christ, and there's a battle going on.
Amen.
And it's not over yet.
Amen.
And there's no discharge from this battle.
Amen.
So, if you're gonna be in the battle, if you're gonna be a soldier for Jesus Christ, the first thing you need to do is be a good soldier.
Amen.
That's what Paul told young Timothy, be a good soldier. A good soldier pays attention to his officer, his superior officer. He tries not to give him any trouble. He tries to go through his training the best he can. He respects those who have authority over him. He's not rebellious. Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? The captain of your salvation? The great general of this host, this army? Do you respect the man that God's put over you as the overseer of this church? Or wherever you're a member of the church? Are you a good soldier? Not only a good soldier, but you need to be a prepared soldier. As it said in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. And use the only weapon God ever put in the hand of one of his soldiers.
Amen.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Amen.
I mean, you can beat a man to death with that. Or beat him to life. Yes, sir. One of the servants of Jesus Christ rose up to use his own power and his own sword, and Christ rebuked him. That's not the way God gets the job done. Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal,
amen,
but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
I had a problem in my church not too long before I came home, and it was getting serious. You know, I could see it. I could see a little group over here on this side, and they'd all watch one or two men. Whatever they did, well, they'd do it with them, you know. They'd go right along with them. If they didn't vote, while the others didn't vote, and I could see it coming. And I began to pray about it. And God said, well, you just start preaching from the first chapter of the book of Joshua. And I just started preaching. Brother, I've never seen so much in a book in my life as God showed me in the book of Joshua. I mean, it was for breakfast, dinner, and supper every day. And brother, when I got over about the middle of that book, I saw that thing began to wilt just like Jonah's gourd vine. And it just wilted and dried up. I mean, I didn't get anybody by the collar. I didn't bawl anybody out. Just preach the word of God. And that's the sword. That's the weapon that God gives to his servants, to his people. Well, you've got to know how to use the sword. If you don't, you get whipped. You have to exercise yourself in this book, in the Word of God. How often do you read your Bible? How often? Every day? Once a week? Once a month? Or are you like the lady that lost her comb and 6 months later she found it in her Bible? After 6 months, she found it in her Bible. You know. One pastor visiting a family and he said he didn't take his Bible with him. He said, I want to read you some scripture if you'll get me a Bible. She turned to a little boy and said, son, would you go get me that book that I read every day? And he went and got the Sears and Roebuck catalog. That's right. That's about the way it is.
That's right.
Yeah. Honey, would you get me that book I love so much? And so the little boy runs and gets one of these true romances. Yeah, that's one to read every day. Well, I guess in this day and time it's TV Guide. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I read something the other day about the TV Guide in the Bible. You know, that was good. I wish I could remember that. I'm going to have to memorize that because that was really good. I mean, it hit the nail right on the head. I'm not off my subject. I'm talking about there's a lot more to be done. And you can't get it done without being a good soldier, a prepared soldier, and a soldier that knows how to use his weapon. The Bible tells us that we ought to be ready to give an answer always to the hope that is within us, to anybody that asks us. And when you say, I believe this or that, they're going to say, well, where's your proof? And what are you going to do? Stand there and your Adam's apple going up and down like a yo-yo? Or are you going to give them a scripture? You see. Be familiar with this book. It's the only book that'll last forever. The only one. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It'll never pass away. Not over yet. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot of praying to be done. Yeah. There's still a lot of praying to be done. As long as there's work to be done, there's praying to be done. And brother, it's prayer first. Every time. Isn't that what the apostle said? It's not meet for us to leave this work and serve tables. Choose you out 7 men, good report, full of the Holy Ghost, and put them over this matter, that we might give ourselves constantly to prayer and the ministry of the word.
Amen.
You're not ever going to be able to minister the word until you first seek God in prayer. I think a man ought to pray about everything he's going to do. If he really depends on God, he'll have to do that. You know. Like Brother Gary was telling me about how the Lord worked that thing out for him when he got burned for Australia. But he didn't work it out while Brother Gary was out somewhere doing something else, not even listening to God or talking to him or anything. He worked it out while he was on his knees praying. Seeking God's will. There are a lot of things to pray for. Everybody talks about what a terrible shape the nation's in. Well, we have to keep praying. See, you can't take hold of it with your hands and solve the problem. You can't do it. But there's one who can. And so we have to appeal to him. I mean, things are in a terrible shape down in Brazil. Terrible shape. I couldn't even buy any groceries before I came home. I couldn't pay my bill. I mean, the president came in and just with one sweep, just took all the savings accounts of everybody, industries, the vice president, the congressman, the industries, hospitals, just took it all and locked it up in the central bank, and you couldn't change any money. Nobody had any money to buy anything with. And it's still that way. It's still that way. Brother George Bean called me the other night and told me he'd send a check down there, and the boy tried everywhere to get it cashed or get it changed into that money, and he can't do it. And the Lord was good to me and let me sell my car up before I came home. I did find the man that I bought it from, a car salesman, had the money and bought it back from me and paid me more than I paid for it when I bought it. And I left that money down there for him to operate on. And Brother Bean wanted to know if I would cash that check to that boy. And I called back down there and told him to cash the check so they'd have money to pay their workers and pay bills there. I mean, it's in terrible shape. So I keep praying about it. That God will change that thing. That God will overrule that. And that the missionaries and the workers will be able to continue with the work of God. And I pray constantly down there for that country that God will do something and take that country out of the hands of crooks and put some good honest men in political authority, that those people might have a decent living and not just an existence. I mean, you folks can't understand how it is. You couldn't understand unless you went there. And it'd be hard to believe then. I give water to people every day. Lord blessed me with a good well there. And before I ever had the men to drill that well, I promised that I'd give those poor people water. Someone was having to walk 2 or 3 miles with a 5-gallon bucket and fill it up. Women and young girls, and put that bucket on their head and walk 3 miles back home with a 5-gallon bucket of water on their head. Living in a little 2-room mud shack with a dirt floor. Hardly a day passes, somebody didn't come up there and say, Pastor Mama, some little kid will come up and say, Pastor Mama, wants to know if you'd send her some rice and beans and coffee. We don't have anything to eat in the house. Daddy's sick or hadn't got a job. I mean, I feel that. It gets to me. But I can't take over with my hands. I mean, I can't take all of them to raise. I can't do that. I can't feed them all. There's no way I can. Not even all of them that live right around me. I just don't have the condition to do that. But I know that God is able to do something about it, and so I keep praying. And it looks like instead of getting better, it got worse. But who knows? Out of this thing here, it may turn for the better. And God will begin to answer prayer, you see. I mean, that's what we hope for. That's what we wait for. So whatever your condition is, whatever the condition of your country, whatever your need is, whatever your problem is, God is greater than your problem. I mean, we have a song we sing in our church down there that tells that very story. God is greater than your problem. One of the songs on this record I have is There Exists a Solution. And that's right. Written by one of the young men of our church. All those songs on those records are written by the members of our church. Songs and music. And they tell a gospel truth. I have a little plaque that someone gave me. I don't remember who it was, some time ago, about this long. Set in a little groove, piece of wood. And it's right there in my office, and it says, God is greater than your problem. Thank God for that. Amen. Sometimes we think we're all alone in this business, you know. And then suddenly somebody will appear. Somebody will appear that we never dreamed of. In a place we never dreamed of. Have a there's a young girl. She's been a friend of ours for years. She belongs to another Baptist church. She and Dorothy were real good friends. And she would get married the 13th of this month. And when she found out I was coming home the 28th of March, she just about died. She said, "You can't miss my wedding." And I said, "Well, I have to. I've got my plans made and everything. I have to go home." She said, "Well," she's married an American missionary. And they're coming to the States. And she said, "We're going to get married again in his church the 23rd of June in Hagerstown, Maryland." And she said, "I want you to be there." Now, you're missing this in Brazil. But if you'll come to my wedding in the United States, that'll be the most glorious moment of my life. If you walk into that wedding there, I said, "I'll do my best." But I worried because it's on Saturday. And I had no idea that there was any kind of Baptist church in any way near there anywhere. And lo and behold, in the directory, there's an independent Baptist church in Hagerstown, Maryland, right there in that same city. How do you know that? And probably you didn't know it either. But it's there. Like somebody asked the other night, there must just be a few of you like you folks, a few of these churches. They're all over the world. Brother Philip found one down in Australia in the city where he plans to work. I mean, he didn't know how he was going to get into anything, and suddenly there appeared this man who was pastor and invited him over and interrogated him for I forgot how long he said now and asked him all kinds of questions. And when Brother Philip got through answering the questions, that man said, "You know, I believe you now." Because he didn't know what I believe, but that's just exactly what I believe. Just exactly what you said is what I believe. He didn't know that. But we're treated as the offscouring of the earth. That's right. I mean, a Southern Baptist church down there won't even recognize us as a church. Won't even give us a letter. But they'll take in conservative Baptists. They hook up with the Pentecost and have big union meetings and all that stuff. But we're a bunch of cranks out there, you know. They're not worth anything. Don't amount to anything. But God knows all about this, you see. He knows who's standing for His truth and who isn't.
Amen.
And it'll get worse. But then it'll get better. And God will give us a victory. So just keep on praying. Keep on praying. And when you can't think of anything else to pray for, pray for me. I need your prayers. I need them every day. Brother, I want to tell you, I feel your prayers down there. That's the only thing that keeps me in Brazil. God's grace through the prayers of His people. God's so good to me. I don't deserve anything. But He's so good to me. Wonderful. Well, there's a lot of studying to be done. I would to God that every member of New Testament Baptist churches would get it in their heart and dedicate themselves to make a thorough, deep study of the Word of God. I mean, spend a little money on some good books. Some books that'll do you some good. Buy a good concordance and a good dictionary. Buy some good books by good men, good sound men. On the books of the Bible. And study the Word of God. When you preach the message. Don't just take it like a baby worm, taking a worm out of the mother's mouth. Look over it first. Do like the Bereans. Look in the book to see if it's true. Familiarize yourself with the greatest book that ever existed or ever will exist. Somebody said many years ago, less than a century, there won't be a Bible left in the world. There's more today than there ever were. I mean, over there where we thought that perhaps if that system took the world over, that prophecy would come true. Over there, behind the Iron Curtain, Bibles are going in by the millions now. You see, God's still on the throne. He's not sick. He's not old. He's not lazy. He's not a sluggard. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He never winks eyes. His eyes on us all the time. Every minute. He doesn't miss a thing. Good or bad. He sees it all. I preached a message, Brother Smith, church, but God seeth us. Some girl came, a girl used to be a member of my church years ago, Julian came, sat on the back seat, and she got saying, "Quit, don't preach that. I don't want to hear that." You know, well, there are a lot of people that way. She's just a little bit more honest than some of them. They don't like to know that God sees them and sees everything that goes on, even their thoughts and their imagination. And everything's in control. Everything is in control. Yes, sir. Not one thing out of order. God has everything in order just like He wants it. And it's going according to His plan. And I'm so glad I'm on His side. Yes, sir. I'm so glad I'm on His side. Hadn't always been. But God had that in His plan all the time. Yes, sir. That He's going to bring me out of darkness. Take me out of that kingdom of darkness and translate me into the kingdom of His dear Son, into the kingdom of light. See, I thank God for the doctrines of grace. I don't make any bones about it. I believe them with all my heart, preach them, love them. They're good for you. Yes, sir. Brother Connor preached on election. That doctrine is good for you. People could just see that. You say, how is it good for you? Because God said it is. Romans 8:28 said, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Now God defines that when He said, "What shall we then say to these things?" I mean, that's part of the all things. It's good for us. Thrill my soul. I can't ever fathom its depths. But I love to just swim around in it. Yes, sir. Wonderful. Thank God. How much more time do I have, brother? See, I just have to put the caboose on this when you tell me to quit. What time am I supposed to quit anyway? Huh? Hey, I got 10 minutes, right? 7 minutes. 7 minutes? Okay. Not only is there a lot more work, not more studying to be done, there's a lot of work to be done. Many years ago, one of Dorothy's sisters asked me, at that time she was still going to church, and she said, "I'd preach against picture shows, and swimming, public swimming, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I still preach against it." Amen. Yes, sir. She came to me one day and said, "Well, what can we do?" I said, "That depends on who you want to do for." If you want to do for yourself in the world, I don't have any advice for you at all. But if you want to do for God, I can get you so busy you won't ever run out of anything to do. Never. I've been in Brazil, it'd be 24 years. the month of July of this year. And brother, I see more to do there right now than I did when I went there. I mean, it seems like it gets bigger every day. It seems like the more I do, the more there is to do. There's more witnessing to be done. Phil ought to be ready to witness anywhere. I mean, because you never know what the outcome will be. I went by many years ago. I didn't have a car. Had to ride the bus from where I lived out to where my church was. And I came home one night. I'm not complaining about that. That's just fine with me if that's the way God wanted it. That's some of the happiest days of my life. I didn't know where the next dime was coming from, the next meal, but God always provided. I never did go hungry. And always when I had to drive the bus, I always had bus fare. I was coming home one night, walking into the house, got off at the bus stop, started home. I saw a man standing over in front of a house under construction. He was a night watchman. I went over and talked to him and witnessed to him and gave him a tract. And the next night when I went by, he called me over and he said, "Say, Pastor," said, "you know, I don't know how to read, and I saved that tract and gave it to the bricklayer for him to read it for me this morning. And he read that tract and he said for you to come by here, he wants to talk to you. For you to come by here tomorrow morning." So the next day I went over there. And he said, "I want to tell you what, preacher, that's just exactly what I want for me and my family. Where's your church?" And I told him, and he went Sunday and was saved. Amen. And that same day, I'd been trying to get in the village over there for about 2 years and never did get it. It seemed like I just couldn't get a foot in. And he said, "Pastor, I've got a house over there in the name of the village is Turu. I've got a house over there in Turu. I don't live out there. I've got a family living in it, but I want to start having services out there." I said, "Praise the Lord." Man, we started having services out there, and his mother-in-law was saved, and his daddy-in-law, and his sister-in-law, and aunts and uncles. We got a Baptist church there doing business for God. That man took care of my work one time while I was home for almost a year at 96 Professions of Faith. Right now, he's my church treasurer, been for years, and he's also a preacher. And he's got a mission started in his home in a new place where he moved, a new section of town. And they're planning on organizing a church maybe before I go back. I mean, you never know. You never know how God's going to bless his work. I went over to 2 minutes. I went over to the bank the other day, Monday, before I came up here. I had to cash a check and needed some money. Went over to the bank, and a young girl waited on me, and she said, "Let me see your driver's license." Well, I fumbled around, finally found my driver's license, and gave it to her, and she looked at it, and it's just a black square where my picture was supposed to be. She said, "There's no picture on here." I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's the back of my head you're looking at. The picture's on the other side." She said, "Don't you have another document of some kind with your picture on it?" And I said, "Yes." So the only thing I had in my billfold was my identification card from Brazil. So I gave it to her. She started trying to read it, and I said, "Lady, that is an ID card from Brazil." "Oh, you're from Brazil." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm a Baptist missionary." "Well, that's nice." I said, "Are you saved?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Where do you go to church?" She said, "Well, I'm not going anywhere right now." I said, "We moved up here from Knott County. And we have a number of little Baptist churches. I'm a member of a Baptist church down there, but I didn't know there were any Baptist churches here in Lexington." I said, "Well, yeah, I can tell you where there's one right here close. And you'll have it if you go out there." He said, "Well, I'd like to find out where it is because I want to go to church." Said, "I'm not used to missing church." So I just went out and called Brother Garland and told him. Gave him the girl's name. And who knows? She may go out there and take her family and become members there of the church. Who knows? I mean, you never know when you speak a word for Christ to someone, you never know what the result is going to be. There's a lot of work to be done. Every day, every hour, wherever you are, always speak a word for Christ. Always witness someone for the Lord. Just take advantage of the opportunity. When I was home, I don't know what it was last year, the year before last, Brother Smith, you mind if I steal about 2 minutes of your time? I pulled in the service station there in Mayfield, where I was born and raised, and a man come out to fill my tank up with gas, and I kept looking at him. He kept looking at me, and I said, finally he said, "Do I know you?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I was born and raised here." He said, "What's your name?" I said, "Dempsey Henderson." "No, I don't believe I remember you." I said, "Well, my dad's name was Dylan Henderson." "Oh, Dylan Henderson." And boy, I mean, he spit out some words and took God's name in vain about a half a dozen times, and I just stand there looking at him. And when he finally wound down, I said, "Are you saved?" I scared him to death. Well, said, I've been to church a couple of times, went to a funeral here a while back. I said, I won't know if you're saved. And that man, I never saw anybody get in such shape in my life. And I said, "I thought maybe you were. You took my father's name so many times, I thought maybe you knew him." Boy, that just beat him, you know, and I went home. And he got real busy. He said, "Well, excuse me," he said, "I got to wait on this fellow over here." And he took off, left me talking. And the next day I went by there, and a young boy that works in this service station that I know real well, and he's a Baptist saved. And he said, "I won't tell you what, Pastor, I wouldn't took anything in the world for this. That guy's got one of the filthiest mouths you ever heard in your life." And said, "He come storming in that door when you left out and said, 'Why didn't y'all tell me he's a preacher?'" Well, he never got away from that, I'll tell you that. I don't know whether he's ever saved or not, but he'll always remember that. Because I preached the gospel to him. He just won't get away from it. Well, one day it'll all be over, Brother Smith. Get on over here a few more chapters. And Joshua called all those people that were from the other side. You know, Moses gave some land to those tribes on the other side and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And then when they started to go over Jordan, he said, "Now y'all got to go with us. You leave your women and children here and all, but you got to go with us until we get to the battle's over. Until the battle's over and we possess the land." So one day Joshua called him and said, "Boys, you can go home now. It's all over. You can go home. See your loved ones." That's exactly what Jesus is going to say one of these days, Brother Hancock. It's all over. The battle's over. You can come home and gather together with your loved ones and your friends and those that have gone on before. You know, I miss Dorothy. I really do. More all the time. I miss her so much in this conference. I look around and see these brethren with their wives. Seems so happy. Second day of April was our wedding anniversary. We would have been married 41 years. I went to Mayfield, bought some flowers with a dozen roses. I always like to give her a dozen roses. Took them out to put them on the grave. And a few days later, Mona asked Mona Clark, Brother Clark's wife, said, "Dempsey, what do you do when you go over there to the cemetery? You talk to Dorothy or what?" I said, "No, Mona, I don't talk to her. She isn't there. I can't talk to her." I stand there and thank God for the memories of a good life together. But always pray. It's just a very simple prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Because the Lord said that when he comes and the trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel, the dead are going to rise. The dead are going to rise. They're going to rise first. I always stand there and say, man, if he'd come right now, I'd see that body come out of that grave. And God would change me in the same moment. And we'd go home to be with the Lord forever. See, the battle's not going to rage on forever. It's going to be over one of these days. We'll go home to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Brother Haley and Dorothy. Thousands and millions of others have already gone on. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. So may God help us. May we comfort ourselves in the blessed hope and the blessed promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be faithful to the Lord till the end, till the battle's won, till it's over with. May God help us to be good soldiers.
Amen.
I want to tell you folks something, especially you married men. It does me good. I don't envy it. I don't have any envy or any covetousness in my heart that way. I'm glad you still have your wife with you. I feel happy to see you happy. But, brethren, be good to them while you got them.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, you never know. You could go first, but they may too. Be good to them. All right.